Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Jock Scharfen, Deputy Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Also joining in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM. Jock, what trends will have the largest impact on USCIS in the next 10 years, and how will the organization need to adapt to these changes?
Well, I think that as we've been talking about the transformation of this organization is that we're clearly in the world of electronic and IT transformation, is that as we move into this transformed business process where we go from paper-based to electronic-based, is that that will never end. We'll continually have to go back and reassess where we are. And I think that on information technology and re-looking at our processes, that this is not just a one-time effort, but that we'll have to continue to look at that and improve upon that. And I think in the next decade, the challenge will be first to make sure that we move from a paper-based to an electronic-based, person-centric, modern system, and then to ensure that that system works efficiently and it continues to be improved as it moves on. I think there will also continue to have challenges with managing large numbers of immigrants, and that a subset of that issue of just sheer numbers is also the type of immigrants. It's important, and we hear from our different stakeholders, is the importance of getting students into our universities, foreign students into our universities, and also getting high-tech immigrants and non-immigrants into our economy. And that is, I think, an issue that will persist, and that will be one that we'll have to manage going forward in the years ahead.
Jock, there's a lot of discussion these days around the pending government employee retirement wave. I'm curious, how is your organization handling this phenomena, and what are you doing to ensure that you have the right staff mix to meet the demands of these transformation efforts?
Al, I can't tell you today we have the answers to that. I can tell you that we've got in place a strategic workforce plan, and that strategic workforce plan for USCIS will profile our workforce, give us the demographics, give us things like the age profile, fit in the retirement aspects to that. It'll also tell us about our diversity profile, which, by the way, looking at our EEO, our diversity numbers, we're happy with those, but we're going to work hard to make our organization reflect our country as much as it can. Although the strategic workforce plan will have many parts to it, one of the key parts to that will be the future workforce. And we hope to identify where we're going to have gaps in the future. And that was one of the key things we asked them to do, so that we can start planning, that we can identify those gaps, whether it's retirement gaps, whether it's skill gaps, whether it's diversity profile gaps, whether it's education gaps, whether it's our recruitment on the front end, whether we're getting the quality type people we want. Question here is right now we do not require a college degree. That will be addressed there. All those type questions, we hope to put them into gap type language so that we can then not just analyze it, but come up with some type of practical action plan.
So as you look at those gaps, to that end, what steps are you taking to attract and maintain a high-quality technical and professional workforce?
Director Gonzalez has a lot of experience in this area. First of all, he has a PhD, and he is committed to education, and he's a thoughtful guy. And he is also in the Army. He has worked in the education. He taught at West Point, and he was also in the personnel leadership management area within the Army, which is a huge organization to manage. And so he's an experienced personnel manager. And he's looked at this, and he has come to a number of conclusions. And one way to attract and maintain our high-quality workforce is to offer first-rate, world-rate education and training. This year, we moved $2 million in the short term into increasing our education and training for our employees, from both our most junior employee to our most senior leadership. We are also, though, looking under the fee rule. A big part of the fee rule would go towards better training of our employees and also educational opportunities. And we're talking about investing tens of millions of dollars into the training of our employees and education of our employees. And we believe that will help attract and maintain the high quality we need. We'll also take a look at the intake process there of how we recruit people. And the Army and has a saying that the director is fond of saying, and that is, everyone is a recruiter. He's encouraged the organization, and I've seen that, where people are going out and recruiting. For instance, we're going to Walter Reed, and we're trying to recruit a disabled combat veterans from Iraq. And we're finding a very high-quality group of people there, our veterans, disabled veterans. But that kind of personal touch, the Director Gonzalez is out there setting an example, recruiting himself. And he comes back and he has names of individuals who happen to be very good, for instance, in computers. And it's a good thing to recognize the needs of our disabled vets, and it's also good for our organization.
Chuck, along the similar theme, you've obviously had a fascinating and a very highly successful career as a Marine and as a lawyer, all in the service of our country. So what advice would you give to someone who is perhaps thinking about a career in public service? What do you tell that that young individual at Walter Reed?
First of all, I would encourage it. I've really have enjoyed public service. One of the things I mention is that those people I know, for instance, in private practice, when you speak to them, many times they get the greatest personal and professional satisfaction when they somehow volunteer or get involved in public service. For instance, I have a friend who's a partner in a law firm here in Washington, D.C., and he volunteers his time as a lawyer to our disabled vets. And he gets great satisfaction out of that. He's a very successful lawyer here in Washington, but when I see him on the soccer field or somewhere else, what he wants to talk about is that service that he's been able to provide. And he gets great personal and professional satisfaction out of that. So first of all, I just encourage them in general and tell them they're going to enjoy it. But that there's a lot of responsibility that goes with that, and that if you do go into public service, that you go into it with the right attitude, and that it is about service. You go in and you with the right attitude, and if you go in with the goal to serve the public, it has its own rewards. You may not have the largest paycheck, and you may be able to get a larger paycheck elsewhere, but you get paid in a different coin, and it's that coin of being going home knowing that you've served the public well. So first of all, I would encourage them to do it. Next, I would tell them they should take chances and they should do what they're interested in doing, and that if they see a job, they should not be hesitant to apply for it. But I'd add a quick caveat to that, that the most important thing you can do, though, is to do the job you're doing currently well and be enthusiastic about it and do the best job you possibly can and work well with others, because the government is all about working well with others. You've got to be a team player. But first do the job you're doing well, but then don't be shy about reaching out and trying to apply for a job that may be a little bit out of the ordinary. But you never know unless you apply, and don't be discouraged the first time you've applied and you've been told no. When you reach my age, you know, you can take a no better than when you're younger. And I've been told no many times, and you know, you get over it. But that shouldn't stop you from reaching for that job that you're interested in.
I think that's fantastic advice for all of us. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our hour this morning. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Dave and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our government in protecting the homeland. And we most definitely want to have you back in September to hear about the results of your strategic workforce plan.
Thank you very much, Al and Dave. And if I could just close off by making reference so that our listeners can visit us, USCIS, on our website. It's uscis.gov, and it's the new website that we have there. It was put together by our IT guru, Jeff Conklin, and our communications guru, Jose Montero. I think it's pretty good. We're working hard to make it better, so we encourage the listeners to come visit us at uscis.gov. If you've got some suggestions to make that even better, don't hesitate to give us some ideas. I know those two fellows are working hard to make it the very best they can.
Fantastic. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Jock Scharfen, Deputy Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.